Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. Boy, have we got a show for you today. A lot of information to get into. One of the first pieces of information I want to just start right off with. You know, everyone was making a big deal. There was a lot of hopium with respect to the Brunson v. Alma Adams case, the election challenge to overturn the 2020 election. Okay, how many people recall that? Show of hands out there. Remember that? Look, I am not. Believe me, I am not taking in any. I'm not saying that this was bad, but I'm saying I have a lot of respect for the patriots who brought this case, but the Supreme Court yesterday said, no, we're not going to even hear this case. The justices turned down a request for rehearing by Roland Brunson, a Utah man who brought the case. Justices did not explain their decision, and a vote tally was not made available. You know why? Because they're above the law, okay? That's right. So those people who were hanging their hat on the Brunson case, like I said earlier, I don't know, months ago, not going to happen. And it didn't happen. Did you expect otherwise, ladies and gentlemen? I hope not. Today's show, a lot of information from Ukraine, NATO, the cusp. We are on the cusp of a nuclear war brought to you by people like the handlers of Joseph Biden. That would be Barack Hussein Obama, George Soros, of course, Victoria Nuland, Susan Rice, Samantha Power, and people also like Bill Gates who want to depopulate the planet. And to a lesser extent, all those behind the clot shots, the jabs, and the Faucis of the world to disperse biological weapons, including the Wuhan virus that came from a lab. It didn't come from a wet market. And, of course, the so-called remedy, the so-called vaccines, which are not vaccines, they're gene therapy, designed to kill you and to make you dependent upon a system. So we've got all of that. We've got the going into a deeper dive about the sabotage in the United States. We also have a little bit about lawfare. Wait until you see what we are going to bring to you about the case in Georgia, a grand jury case against Donald Trump. Wait until you see this train wreck. I mean, you think Ohio Chernobyl was bad, okay, in the form of lawfare. This is the human equivalent of that times 10, okay? And then, of course, the bigger picture, and that is the transhumanism technocracy. Transhumanism and how can I put this? Transhumanism and technocracy. I'm going to leave it at that because that best explains things, I suppose, in the big picture of things. That's what this is all about. That and more coming your way. With me right now is the man, the myth, the legend, Randy Taylor. Randy Taylor from East Palestine, Ohio.
Right.
Randy Taylor, how are you, sir?
If that were true, it'd be formerly from East Palestine, Ohio.
Formerly. I'm telling you, I drove through there 2 days after as I mentioned yesterday. And it was raining when I drove through there.
Hence the tan.
Hence the tan. That's liver failure. No, I'm kidding. But I drove through there, and it was particulate type rain. Okay. Now, it didn't do any damage to my vehicle, but Eric, the tech said some of the vehicles down there had their clear coat taken off by rain that did fall or precipitation. So that's something.
Snow.
Frost. All right. So,
but
yeah.
The good thing is it rained.
Well, the question is it good? Because now
I would think so. I would think that would beat it down to the ground.
Okay.
Keep it as far as from a spread point.
Well, we were talking. Okay, so I had some dialogue with quite a few people about this. In some information from Mike Adams, Health Ranger, and stuff. Look, this is America's Chernobyl. At the very least, I believe that we are looking at a. People will say, "Well, this was due to." This or that failure. No, I'm thinking more in terms of sabotage. And when we show you, Randy Taylor and I show you what is taking place all across the United States and connect some dots, I think you'll agree with us. So at any rate, Randy Taylor, before we get into the meat and potatoes of this show, anything that you want to...
No, I think that our show outline today covers a lot. I hope we can get to cover it all.
Yeah, we're going to.
If not, we'll take it up tomorrow, too.
That's right. And hopefully you're going to be with me tomorrow.
Absolutely.
All right.
Lord willing.
Amen. Well, let's get started, because I think in 2 days from now, it will mark the first, the anniversary of Russia's move into Ukraine. And as I said yesterday, folks, please do me one favor. Take an hour and a half and watch Ukraine on Fire. It's by Oliver Stone. Yeah, I know. But I'm going to tell you something. After JFK, I think he's kind of, changed a little bit. And that gives you a lot of exact background information about Ukraine. But what I want to do is I want to hit Ukraine first, the path to World War III, because, Randy Taylor, by the way, for the 4 years that Trump was in office, President Trump was in office, everyone was saying, he's going to get us into World War III. He's going to get us into World War III. What a bunch of crap. And guess who's getting us into World War III? It's the O'Biden personage, right? Yeah,
absolutely. Honestly, this wouldn't even be going on. Honestly, I think if Trump was in office, that's my personal opinion. Yep. I do not think that Putin would have made a move. I think that when he saw how we were doing our handling our politics here in the U.S., how it was a tainted election, I think when Putin witnessed all this and he saw that Trump wasn't going to be able to do anything, he made his move.
No, I totally agree 100% with you.
He has to protect his country, too.
Exactly. And the history of Ukraine is so, it's complex, okay? You've got actual Nazis over there, not neo-Nazis, but Nazis over there. And by the way, us sending tanks over there with 1844 markings, all right? The 1-8 stands for Adolf Hitler. The numeric sequence of the alphabet, AH, 18. And the 44 is Heil Hitler. And those are being sent to the Azov Battalion and others, the Azov Battalion and the Nazi group in the, oh my goodness, the western part of Ukraine. So,
It's a toilet.
It really is. And it's a banker's war, and it's a money laundering. This is to cover the money laundering and also to really depopulate the planet. But we went through, Randy Taylor and myself, we went through tens of hours of videos and audios and such to try to bring you the best information about the current situation in Ukraine. landing on this, this in the show prep, if you go to HagmanReport.com, that's HagmanReport.com, before I even do that, let me just say this. Please do me a favor. Please subscribe to Hagman Report on Rumble. That means you have to sign up for an account on Rumble. You don't have to post anything. You just subscribe and then you sign up and then you hit the subscribe button on Hagman Report. Okay, yep. And then you get notified or bright Dion. Either
way. But you're not locked into anything. It's one of the easiest things. I'll tell you what, it's easier than YouTube was. Honestly.
Well, YouTube is a friggin' toilet, and you know, they took away our quarter of a million subscribers, and I'll tell you something. We've been deplatformed, it's just hurt us a lot. But regardless, so please subscribe to us.
We're still here.
Yeah, we're still here.
Still standing, baby.
And you know, we're going to be here to the bitter end, and there will be a bitter end. That's right. So subscribe to us there. And for all of the show notes, go to HagmanReport.com, two ends on Hagman, and click the episode description box on HagmanReport.com, and bada bing, there you have it. All of the show notes, all of the links will be right there. Okay, so video number one in the show notes, Putin readies nukes as Biden announces latest forever war. Now, this is compliments of a friend of mine, Jack Posobiec. Okay, former Navy intel, had dinner with him and his lovely wife in D.C., met him, Eric the Tech, I think you and I were with him for a while. Anyway, it was a great time was had by all. Jack is a fantastic person with a lot of great contacts. Let's take a look at this. And then, Randy Taylor, I want to get your take on this after we go through this. And I'm going to give, and if you want to interrupt this, just yell. And if you want to talk about any certain issue of this, because this is a rather long video, it's about 8 minutes long. So
let's do it.
All right. Here it is. Video one.
The commitment of the United States to our NATO alliance and Article 5 is rock solid. And every member of NATO knows it. And Russia knows it as well. An attack against one is attack against all. It's a sacred oath. Sacred oath to defend every inch of NATO territory.
In 2015, they attempted again directly attack Donbass. They continued shelling, terror in relation to citizens. All of this was completely against the documents that were accepted by the United Nations Security Council. I would like to repeat, they started the war, and we used the force in order to stop it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily, powered by Turning Point USA. Today is February 21st, 2023, Anno Domini. You saw two speeches there, and we have a tale of two speeches today. One in Warsaw, one in Moscow. One by President Joe Biden, and one by Vladimir Putin. We are 3 days away, as we sit now, from the one-year anniversary of the war in Ukraine. A war which could have been over in 1 month if the peace deal had been allowed to be signed that Putin and Zelensky had agreed to before Biden and Boris Johnson got involved and scrapped the entire thing. Remember, Naftali Bennett, the prime minister of Israel, explained this to us, that peace was on the table and that it was Joe Biden and Boris Johnson who shot it down. And then several months later, committed the destruction of the Nord Stream pipelines. And I don't believe for a second, by the way, that the United Kingdom wasn't involved in that. So where do we see things now? Where do things sit here on the one-year anniversary? Well, let's take a look. Joe Biden is there screaming his head off, pointing his finger angrily, scolding, yelling, defiant, aggressive. What kind of response do you think has happened? What kind of response do you think that has elicited for the world? Because we are in this together, like it or not. You may have a pathological obsession with Russia, like Biden does. Biden clearly does. And people who lived through two generations of social conditioning during the Cold War era, that Russia is the evil enemy and they must be destroyed at all costs, are now running our country. And so instead of remembering the actual lessons of the Cold War, that you don't want to go to war with a nuclear power that has more nuclear warheads than you, instead, they continue the provocation. And they never once, and go listen to every single word of Joe Biden's speech. I have.
Pause that for a second if you can, and take it off and bring Randy on. Randy Taylor, what he just said there about them having more nukes essentially than we do. Remember when Obama was the junior senator from Illinois, the Lugar delegation overseeing the disposal of the nuclear warheads? He went over to Russia and Ukraine to make sure, well, to Russia, Ukraine was parts of Ukraine, territories of Russia, but they went over back in 2007 to make sure that they were disposing of their nuclear warheads properly and disposing of them pursuant to the agreement. Well, what happened to that? That was Obama that was there. And do you remember that, Randy Taylor?
Yes, I do remember. He was part of an oversight committee of some sort. And my understanding, he was inspecting sites.
Right.
That was back during that period of time when they suspected that Al-Qaeda had managed to nab a few nukes or suitcase bombs or things while they were dismantling these factories. And I remember seeing videos where you could walk in the back unattended through the fence and walk right into a nuclear plant, and nobody stopped you or anything. I was like, well, if Al-Qaeda did steal something, that's no surprise. I do remember Obama being vaguely, and honestly, that's about the only time I heard Obama's name before they introduced him as a candidate for president. Prior to that, exactly. I never heard of that guy.
Well, around that same time, well, less than a year later, they brought forth Obama along with an aid package or a budget that allowed for the war funding into Ukraine into Ukraine. Now, this has to do with the Maidan Revolution. In fact, folks, we're going to stop that there for the sake of time. There's a lot more involved in that that video that Jack Posobiec talks about. I would urge everyone to watch that. Let's go to, if we can, let's go to video two. Again, I want to get your take on this. This is back right after Maidan, the Maidan the Color Revolution, by compliments of the CIA. And I just want for people to understand this. The CIA has really been responsible for a number of coups from 1953 through the present day. 1953, you had Iran with Mohammad Mossadegh. 61, Congo. Remember Lumbumba. 1965, Indonesia. Indonesia, Sukarno. In 1954, before that, of course, was Guatemala with Jacob Arbenz. And then 1961, Cuba, Fidel Castro, the attempt there, Bay of Pigs, and so on. In 61, 64, Brazil. And then in 73, of course, Chile, Salvador Allende. So those are some of the revolutions sponsored by, thank you, CIA and the neocons. But Let's go to video two. This is a quick shot, 2 minutes. If you don't think what I just said is real, this is Nuland and the ambassador to Ukraine, Geoffrey Priot, deciding how the government of Ukraine would be established right after Maidan. Here it is.
What do you think?
I think we're in play. The Klitschko piece is obviously the complicated electron here, especially the announcement of him as deputy prime minister. And you've seen some of my notes on the troubles in the marriage right now, so we're trying to get a read really fast on where he is on this stuff. But I think your argument to him, which you'll need to make, I think that's the next phone call we want to set up, is exactly the one you made to Yats. And I'm glad you sort of put him on the spot on where he fits in this scenario. And I'm very glad he said what he said in response.
Good. So I don't think Cleet should go into the government. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you think, in terms of him not going into the government, just let him sort of stay out and do his political homework and stuff. I'm just thinking, in terms of sort of the process moving ahead, we want to keep the moderate Democrats together. The problem is going to be Tanibok and his guys. And, you know, I'm sure that's part of what Yanukovych is calculating on all of this.
I think Yats is the guy who's got the economic experience, the governing experience. He's the guy, you know, what he needs is Cleach and Tony Book on the outside. He needs to be talking to them four times a week, you know. I just think Cleach going in, he's going to be at that level working for Yatsenyuk. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. Okay. Good. Well, do you want us to try to set up a call with him as the next step?
My understanding from that call, but you tell me, was that the big three were going into their own meeting and that Yats was going to offer in that context a three-way, you know, the three-plus-one conversation or three-plus-two with you. When I talked to Jeff Feltman this morning, he had a new name for the UN guy, Robert Seri. Did I write you that this morning?
Yeah, okay. I saw that.
He's now gotten both Seri and Ban Ki-moon to agree that Seri could come in Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
So that would be great, I think, to help glue this thing and have the UN help glue it. And, you know, fuck the EU.
There you go. There you go. There you go. So, yeah, and don't forget the Hunter Biden laptop contains a lot of information about the restructuring of the government, compliments of Joe Biden, who was Obama's point man in Ukraine. And that's why they want to kill the Hunter Biden laptop and call it Russian disinformation.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Forget the pornography and everything else on that laptop. This is what they wanted covered up. This is why it couldn't see the light of day.
No, you're exactly right, and I think what's going to happen here. Well, let me ask you: what do you think now, given the new offensive by Russia? Because they've got to stop the advancement of the illegal advancement of NATO. They've got to do something. What do you see? How do you see this thing playing out, Randy Taylor?
I don't know if NATO had any sense. I'll be honest with you, they wouldn't pursue this. Putin's in his own home territory. He has a clear advantage there. I think that if things were to erupt, even locally, even if we ended up right there in that hot area with troops and everything in there, Putin has a clear advantage. Secondly, I don't think we have any business in there.
We don't.
We're so quick and so easy for political, for political causes and for whatever purposes these Washington elites have. We're just too quick to send our children to die in a banker's war. And right now, this Ukraine, honestly, we have nothing to do with Ukraine. I've been told that I'm a mean person, a cruel person. I've been called unchristian for not supporting Ukraine. We don't have a dog in that fight.
No, we don't.
We really don't. Whatever's there that would have been of any advantage to us would be clearly gone. As far as, you know, I would have been more interested in grabbing banking records and things like that. I don't know what Putin was after there except to reclaim territory. And at the end of the day, who are we to criticize Putin after we invaded Iraq? It's still stuck in my craw that we invaded a sovereign nation illegally. It was illegal.
We did that with our Arab Spring. People think our Arab Spring was spontaneous. No.
And we're all sitting. We're sitting back. Our government is sitting back, like they're pristine and proper, and we're just doing the right thing. And this is all for democracy. No, it's not. This is one. Like Doug said earlier, this is a banker's war. This has really nothing to do with the United States. I'm not looking forward to World War III. These people seem to be. I don't understand what this infatuation with Russia is over the last even 8 or 10 years. I don't get it. In fact, prior to Trump going into office, rarely was there any talk anything about Russia. And Russia was not an enemy at that point. Suddenly, with Trump, who was an absolute threat to the globalists, has been, always will be. As soon as he showed his face in there, boom, this Russia ghost, goblin, whatever, boogeyman popped up. And we've been fighting this boogeyman ever since. And quite honestly, I don't think that most of America wants to get involved in this, to be honest with you.
And most people don't really understand the history there of Ukraine. You know, right after Mikhail Gorbachev started perestroika back in the mid-1980s and began restructuring, inside Ukraine, there was a man by the name of Narodny Rukh, R-U-K-H, and he was with the People's Movement, or started the People's Movement. And they advocated for independence from Russia, and that was the incubator for Ukrainian Nazism. And that's who we, the United States, those people, not that group necessarily, but that ideology, are the very people we are arming against Russia. And that's when you tell people that, they look at you like, huh?
I honestly think there's a Fourth Reich out there. I do.
Yeah.
What it's showing its face at, I believe, is more of like the World Economic Forum. However, these insane groups like that, Ukraine was their Switzerland, their Swiss banks. That's what the Ukraine has been. It's been a place to hide money, to transfer money, all their banking for the bad guys has been done here in Ukraine.
Yes.
And that's, I think that's what the U.S., these elites and all, are more upset about, is the disruption to the funds by Putin moving into the Ukraine like that, moving into Ukraine. I keep saying the Ukraine. Forgive me for that. That's not the proper way to say that.
No, just simply Ukraine, and people
Ukraine and say, hey, I slip and say it all the time, though.
Yeah, I know. But it's all right. But okay. So here we are, and we are forcing. And I look at this and I'm thinking, my goodness, we're forcing Russia and China together. China is actually loaning us money that we are funneling to Ukraine to underwrite their pension funds. Can you believe that? I mean, so by the way, you've got a Russia-China agreement, both in and outside the monetary part of this. That's their funds are being used in, well, given to the United States. Well, given through other paths into the United States. That's the ultimate location. And then from there, China primarily, but there's agreements between Russia and China. But the Chinese money is funding the...
Us taking a stance in Ukraine opened that door for Russia and China to start holding hands. Well, you know what I'm saying? Well, all along, China's been the actual enemy here. All along, And they refused to. Every time that spotlight would shift over to China, well, they'd slap that puppy right back to where it's back over on Russia. I mean, unless you're stupid, you can't see. You have to be able to see where China sits in all of this.
Yes.
You know, and people are overlooking that. They're being fed what they're digesting. And folks, you got to look outside. Shut that TV off.
Oh.
Okay. And start digging, start doing your own research. This whole Ukraine thing, we have no business in there.
No.
None.
And by Biden going over to Ukraine, if in fact he did, and I have questions of whether that was Biden number one, Biden two, or Biden three, given the fact that 20-hour train ride and stuff. Anyway, I'm telling you right now.
It was probably an abandoned factory down in Arkansas or something.
Addresses from a sound stage. When have we seen that? I'm talking about something different now by Biden. It's ridiculous. It really is. I don't know.
It's the classic. This is like, don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. One of those deals.
Exactly. I mean,
we're being fed a load of crap here. Absolutely. Been being force fed it.
Yeah. And you know, here,
it's going to get expensive.
Well, it's going to get deadly because I do believe how this is going to wind up. It's going to be,
That's what I mean by expensive. It's going to cost, and forget money, the lives.
Exactly. So I do believe that we're going to see some tremendous loss of life, both in theater and outside, starting with perhaps something within Germany or Poland, or even the UK, and ultimately the US. So there's that.
Putin is not Hitler, people. Folks don't think he is.
No. I mean, look, he's not a great guy. I mean, former KGB, look, the guy's got some history, okay?
Yep.
However, I mean, there are no good people in this fight at the moment, right? I mean,
I think his motives are being misinterpreted by a lot of people. I really do.
Well, I mean, if I came to your house and claimed part of your backyard is my backyard, you might have an issue with me, you know?
That or I'd think you were, an indigenous or an American Indian or something. Having to reclaim something from 200 years ago.
Reparations, by the way.
Let's start at his house. Yeah. Wrong house, people.
By the way, folks, Randy Taylor, if you want to correspond with him, randytaylor@hagmanreport.com.
And I get some great emails about this. There are some of our listeners. I know you're just regular folks, but I see some incredible analysis coming from various readers. And I'll be honest with you, some of our more of our senior audience are, and the ladies, I'm glad I don't have to go to war with you. That's all I can say. I see some really incredible analysis coming from some of our listeners. I just wanted to say that.
Well,
I read them. I read every one of them.
I read all the email too. It's just I can't answer hardly any. It's like man, one after the other. But thank you, because there's a lot of great information in there, and you're right. More on Ukraine as time progresses. But folks, if you're not prepared right now, get prepared, because it's going to be a rocky, rocky road. I want to talk to you too. There's this war, not just against, not in Ukraine, but lawfare, this war using the legal system against the American people, against us, and also against President Trump. Okay. So I don't know how many people know this. There's a grand jury in Atlanta, Fulton County. I'm sorry, Fulton County. That would be Atlanta, I think. drove by there, waved, said hello, and then got the heck out. But
driving.
Yeah. You've got to see this. So there's this grand jury. Okay. Just so you know, and folks, I want to prepare you. I want to prepare you. What you're about to see, I mean, you just can't make this up. Okay, a grand jury is a pretty solemn, a pretty serious thing, right? I mean, and Randy Taylor, you've been involved in grand juries. You know, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, now, this is a special, in quotation marks, grand jury. So the four woman, I'm going to say four woman, not four person, but the four the foreman or four woman, whatever you want to call, call her.
The spokesman for the group.
Yeah. Well, she appeared on, I think it was a couple of interviews, including one with AP and stuff, talking about the workings of the grand jury, indictments coming against Team Trump. And she was asked a lot of questions about whether they were going to indict President Trump, you know, and this is all from the 2020 election, so-called meddling. Okay, that's the basis for this grand jury. And I didn't realize that questioning the results of, you know, machine tallies or whatever was meddling. But okay, let's go with that for now, because what you're about to see, your head is going to explode. I guarantee.
Get the duct tape out, people.
I'm telling you, I'm warning you in advance, okay? Take the kids and pets out of the room, because what you're about to see, I mean, when I saw this, it was like 4:30 this morning, and I thought this. I thought, man, I'm getting spoofed. I really am. Okay, but no, this is the forewoman of this grand jury. Okay, now, the length of this is 10 minutes and 39 seconds. If you go to, let's do this. Let's go to 5 minutes and. You know what? Let's play the entire clip, okay? And
we'll just play it till we can't take anymore.
Yeah. We're not going to go past like 6 minutes. But you've got to see this to appreciate this. This is a clip from Lawrence O'Donnell, and you could tell Lawrence O'Donnell is uncomfortable with this, with even talking about this, because he's making excuses for this woman, 30-year-old woman, before the interview even starts, okay? His review of the interview. So this is a review of the review. So, just watch it. This is video 8.
It speaks for itself.
Yeah, here it is.
Well, today in Georgia, NBC's Blaine Alexander conducted what is simply the single most important interview ever conducted about a criminal investigation of Donald Trump. We have occasionally seen interviews with jurors after they have returned verdicts in criminal trials. I have conducted interviews like that. I had one of the jurors in the Paul Manafort case on this program after she found Paul Manafort guilty. She was a Trump voter who told us that she took her oath to do her duty and did her duty. That was one of the more extraordinary juror interviews I've ever seen. Juror interviews are not common. Most members of juries in most trials never speak to the press. I have never seen an interview with a member of a grand jury before that grand jury's work has been made public. In fact, even after a grand jury's work has been made public, I don't ever recall seeing a grand jury member in a television interview. Today, 30-year-old Emily Kors, the foreperson of the Fulton County Grand Jury in Georgia that has been investigating possible election crimes committed by Donald Trump and his associates, began her day doing a short interview with the Associated Press. It was possible for reporters to track down Emily Kors because, as the foreperson of the grand jury, her name was included on subpoenas issued by the grand jury. She told the Associated Press that she volunteered to be the foreperson of the grand jury. Then, in a short interview with the New York Times, she said that the grand jury did recommend indictments of several people. She said, quote, "It's not a short list." That's what she told the New York Times then. Emily Kores sat with NBC's Blaine Alexander for an extraordinary 42-minute interview, which was interrupted briefly more than once by the noise of the geese in the background of her location in Georgia. She told Blaine Alexander that she and the grand jury recommended the indictment of more than a dozen people.
And so we're talking about multiple people.
Yes.
How long, how many people? Was this a long list?
It's not a short list.
So we're talking about more than a dozen people?
I would say that.
Yes. Okay. Are these recognizable names, names that people would know?
There are certainly names that you would recognize, yes. There are names also that you might not recognize, or there are names that, like, you might recognize as someone who's followed this case, but then, you know, your mother might not recognize because she doesn't care about the intricacies of the case. But there definitely are some names that you expect.
Did the grand jury recommend an indictment of former President Trump?
I'm not going to speak on exact indictments.
Would we be surprised? Are there bombshells of who is being recommended for indictment?
I don't think that there are any giant plot twists coming. I don't think that there are any, like, giant... That's not the way I expected this to go at all. I don't think that's in store for anyone.
So nothing that would surprise people who have been following this?
Probably
What's
not.
That's so funny.
I wouldn't want to characterize anyone else's reaction, of course. But so that was one we heard a lot in testimony. But probably not. It probably wouldn't shock you. I would not expect you to be too shocked, no.
And that includes of the former president, potentially.
Oh, it gets better.
Potentially. It might.
Okay. You're looking at a 30-year-old grand jury foreperson who's never done a television interview before.
Obviously.
Don't expect her to be polished, and don't expect her to behave necessarily the same way she would if she were in the studio under these lights in this stiffer environment. She's in a place where she's very comfortable. She's being relaxed in the way she has her exchanges with Blaine Alexander. And so this interview does not have the feel that you might expect in this kind of interview.
Cocaine.
Emily Kores explained why the grand jury did not subpoena Donald Trump.
I think that...
Listen to this.
There were a lot of people that we could have subpoenaed, and there are a lot of people that we honestly, like, might have subpoenaed, but there was also, I don't know, partially the time factor. Like, if we had subpoenaed everyone who had potentially something to say about this, we would probably be there for 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, there are just so many people involved. And I think at some point through this investigation, especially as we began to speak to higher profile witnesses, I think some of the combativeness that we experienced meant that the DA's team, as well as us, kind of started to pick our battles. And when someone, like, for example, goes before the January 6th committee and says they plead the fifth 200 times, do you really expect them to come before you and say something different? You know what I mean? And so it became a battle we didn't need to fight when we could fight other battles and make way with those.
Sure. Did you personally want to hear from the former president?
I wanted to hear from the former president, but honestly, I kind of wanted to subpoena the former president because I got to swear everybody in. And so I thought it'd be really cool to get 60 seconds with President Trump of me looking at him and being like, do you solemnly swear? And me getting to swear him in. I just thought that would be an awesome moment. I can see how trying to get
turn it off.
For something as serious as this is, she sure. I don't like the way she carries herself. I don't like the way anything about her. Anything. What is funny? What is she laughing about? You know.
You know.
There's nothing amusing when you're talking about subpoenaing people, especially when people had, like, January 6th being thrown in prison for life. This is a very serious matter.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Too much joy. There's way too much joy out of that.
Not enough Adderall, apparently. Yeah. Too much joy. And you know, there's an Adderall shortage, and that's Exhibit A.
And for her to be out there speaking prior to public release, that's another example of our two-tiered system.
Okay. And you know, outside of the appearance, you're exactly right. I mean, when I saw that.
That should never occur, period, ever.
No, you're.
Ever.
No. No,
because
absolutely.
What's coming out of her, what's coming out of that blowhole under her nose is not official. Prior to the release.
Well, according to the special grand jury, special rules, she was allowed to talk.
Yeah, probably written up by Stacey Abrams. Thanks. Between mouthfuls.
Folks, what do you think about that? Leave your comment on Rumble or Brighty on whatever. Because, that hurts so bad. I mean, this is the state of our legal system today.
Mm-hmm. It's made a mockery of it. This is exactly why, although things have been proven and proven time and time again, that there was enough fraud in the election to change the election. That's all I care about. Was there enough fraud to change the election? And yes, there was.
Thank you.
This is the type of thing that makes a mockery of that.
Doesn't it, though? I mean,
absolutely.
Absolutely. I did not have enough coffee when I saw that.
You can't. There's really not enough coffee. There might be enough liquor to impact that one. I don't know. I'm not sure. But that would be close.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that.
So that's the state of affairs right now, mm-hmm. brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eric the Tech.
Thanks,
boy.
Eric. There's the pre-interview prep. And he's probably not far off. She was acting really strange.
Yeah, and the geese. Okay, but do you notice how MSNBC?
That was classic.
MSNBC, the entire left had to make excuses for that. But that to me is a template. It's Exhibit A for exactly what's taking place in America today. Mm-hmm. And see, you know, look, I've spent this platform, and you know this, Randy Taylor. This platform has spent well over $100,000 in legal defense, okay, for various things that mm-hmm. I reportedly said, and you know, the things that I can and things that I can't talk about, and you know,
it's a tightrope the dog walks, definitely, and all of us for that matter that get on the air, we have to be careful.
Yeah, exactly.
Very careful. You really have to think about what you say. If we were to ever say what's truly on our minds, they would grab us at the door. They would crash into the studios in our homes or wherever we were at and bag us.
Exactly.
So you people say, well, you should have said, no. I get emails that say that. Well, you should have said, no, please don't tell me what to say, all right? I know where that line is. And the last thing I'm going to do is jeopardize my friend here.
Or our freedom, individual freedoms, you know, so when you look at that and look at the fact that our freedom to speak or our ability to speak freely about topics is being.
Thank you.
Lawfare.
We're censored, man. We're censored.
Yeah.
And when they booted you off YouTube, ladies and gentlemen, that should have, if that didn't prove right there, the censorship problem in this country. Okay. It's cool for them to get on there with rap music and talk about beating their wives and their hoes and shooting the other drug dealers and everything else they do with rap music. But let us speak the truth. And guess what? They hit the kill switch. They put their full political power, the full power of the United States government was behind. I don't think it's just that YouTube did it on their own. Don't think that.
No.
YouTube wants people. YouTube wants listeners. But when the government comes to them and says, you're either going to do this or we're going to do this, as a huge business entity, they, or even them, even YouTube was afraid of the U.S. government.
You know, boy, I'll tell you what, the merger of big tech and government, Randy Taylor, is something to behold. And you know, here's what we're talking about, because Steve Bannon, Rudy Giuliani, Roger Stone, friend of mine, a friend of the program, Hunter Biden warns Steve Bannon, Rudy Giuliani, Roger Stone, and 11 others to preserve records for potential litigation following a laptop scandal. Do you know when you get a preservation request, you better have a criminal defense attorney, you better have attorneys, auditors there, because you could make a misstep, simple, innocuous misstep, and it would cost you perhaps your freedom. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're, in terms of, you know, what cost us money, okay? Stuff like this.
And think about that, folks. This is a daily thing. There are people out there that are watching this right now, waiting for us to make a mistake.
Oh.
And that is no joke. That is no joke. And the fact that we even have to sit here and tell you this should just spell out to you in black and white the sad state of affairs that this country is in. And that's just some of the first parts. People are being tossed in jail and held. Think about that. Did you see anything on January 6th outside of the guy shooting Ashley Babbitt? Okay. Did you see anything on January 6th that would warrant a life sentence? I did not. I saw some vandalism. I saw some property damage. I didn't see any assaults or anything that would warrant life in prison, especially to going into a room and putting your feet up on somebody's desk. And I don't, the guy that got sentenced for life, I don't particularly like the guy. Okay. But it's wrong.
The shaman and Nancy Pelosi's daughter was making a documentary on that day. The shaman got 41 months in prison. Okay. For he didn't do anything except occupy a space in the Capitol.
And you know, the Ashley Babbitt shooting, nothing was even brought up to review publicly.
No.
Why wasn't that? That was a death. That was a human life taken. Why wasn't that thrown out for public consumption, you know, and a public opinion? They put out for public opinion and everything else, including that stinking show they had on every night, reiterating and replaying. All their talking points.
Oh, January 6th committee you're referencing. Yeah.
About as effective as the Warren Commission and the 9/11 Commission.
Exactly. It's.
You know the results before it starts.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So, the lawfare that's here, that has been here and coming, the increase is going to be much, much worse. And by the way, folks, if you think you're insulated from it, you're not. You are not, because you say something on social media that offends someone, watch out, okay, because they're coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're talking, and we've seen it affect our finances. We were deplatformed from Patreon. Why? Because we spoke about January 6th in a favorable light. And oh, my goodness, we can't have that. So bang, the biggest source of revenue, which, by the way, on Friday with Steve Quayle, I'm going to be making some very, very specific announcements that you got to tune into. But this is now coming to every single household in America. And in overdrive here, we're going to address the bigger picture in about 6. We got about 5 minutes left of a satellite radio feed. And then hopefully, Randy Taylor, you can stick with me for.
I'm going to stick with you, brother. I got nowhere to be.
All right, because again, a lot of this right now is we are being subjected. I mean, you and I, Randy, myself,
collectively,
and all of us,
and individually,
yes, are being subjected to this massive campaign of death, destruction. Deplatforming. Who care? I mean, at this point, who cares about that? It's death and destruction coming at us. And very quickly here, if we can do this in rapid succession, you want to see the state? We spoke reference about East Palestine, Ohio. Well, I'll tell you what. What's happening all over the country? These are not accidents. Video 3: massive fire breaks out in the Brooklyn lumber storage warehouse. This is a 50-second video right there. Look at that, okay? A lot of lumber used for construction up in flames. Okay, that's in the middle of Brooklyn. Check this out. Williamsburg area. I spent a lot of time there. That's video 3 in the show prep notes. Video 4, hazmat crew being dispatched to the scene of a Union Pacific coal train derailment. You think East Palestine is in derailment? Look at this. Energy. You think it's not being affected by this? That's in Nebraska, this derailment.
Just suddenly.
Nothing to see here. Oh, this is, you know, train derailments happen all of the time, especially when it affects what? Energy? How about this? How about sudden fires? Well, Medley, Florida, firefighters battling a massive fire at an industrial facility by an explosion, resulting in multiple injuries and fatalities. Again, nothing to see here.
Did you see the massive fire in Kissimmee?
That's, I don't even think I have that on here. Yes.
That was amazing.
You got that right. And I know you're familiar with this area. Mm-hmm. I went by Kissimmee on my way back to the studio, and you could actually smell the acrid smoke.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's in Florida. You can go to video 6 in the interest of time. Bedford, Ohio, metal factory explosion and fire. Again, these are...
And my question in Ohio, Doug, is why didn't they attempt to recover those gases or the product? Why didn't they attempt to recover it? Why would you just make the decision to release it into the air when it's that deadly?
The only thing I can think of is Pete butt plug, Buttigieg was allowing was involved in a drivetrain issue. I don't know, man.
Any of that stuff could have been recovered.
Yes.
And put into other tanks. I mean, it's just, I was in the HVAC business at one point in my life, and I know that things can be transferred from one tank to another.
Of course they can.
With minimal exposure, you know, to the outside. That decision is what's in question. The derailment's one thing. The decision to release those gases, that was a deadly decision.
So you've got multiple acts of, in my view, sabotage. Now maybe one might have been an accident that could be traced to an accident. But there are so many inexplicable incidents that are happening at key hinge points that you have to look at this and say, wait a second, there's something going on here, internal sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
But who would do such a thing? Well, we've got the southern border open. I guess anyone who wants to walk through and do whatever they've got to do can do it.
All right. Oh, yeah. Lord only knows who's come through there.
Exactly. All right, folks. That is the Hagmann Report. Now we are going to switch from satellite. If you want to stay with us into overdrive, I suggest you go to HagmannReport.com and you can click on the video and stay with us because, man, this is more coming up. All right. So thank you, Global Star Satellite Radio. Thank you, Spreaker, and all the audio platforms as we leave you and take you in. I'm sorry? Oh, we're not leaving Spreaker. That's right. So thank you for the other audio platforms. And Eric the Tech, thank you. He's the guy.
Absolutely. All right. He's the guy.
All right.
He knows what we're doing.
Yeah. I don't have a clue.